Amen. You may be seated. Love that song. It's, you know, taking ground for the kingdom. Not just sitting where we are, not being stagnant, not just defending against the forces of evil, but taking ground for the kingdom, right? Getting out there, living it, right? Using the gifts that God gave each one of us for His glory to their full potential. Making a difference in this world. We're the church, right? Let's get out there and do it. All right, well, welcome this morning. Whether you're here in person or you're here online, may you feel God's presence in a very real way as we are here to worship Him, to glorify His holy name, and to commune with Him and each other. Let's start with our readings.
The first reading today is from Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 18, verses 23 to 28. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Here ends the lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John, as John the Baptist, might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Here in the reading, you may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church at this time, feel free. I heard what you're doing in children's church today and wish I could come too. They got some fun activities that they do. So Jill was planning that one at home last night, and I'm going, yeah, I'm up for that. But we're here. And God is here, right? So Lord, you are here. Let your words speak to our spirits, Lord, this morning, that we might be enlightened, that we might be energized, we might be changed to be more like you. Amen. All right, it's a good day. I get to preach Romans 12, my favorite chapter in the Bible. We just sang my favorite song, Build Your Kingdom Here. I mean, just, yeah, okay. God is good in so many ways. So good. So we've been going through Romans 12 one verse at a time. We start out with like being a living sacrifice. What does that look like when you offer ourselves up to God on a daily basis? Here I am, God. Use me however you want. You know, maybe not ways that make sense to us, but He'll find ways to use us for His glory. About not being conformed to the ways of this world. We should be nonconformists. We should look a little strange to the people around us, okay, as Christians. And so many other good things. We've been taking this about one verse at a time. And today, never be lacking in zeal, but keep up your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Don't be lacking in zeal. As Christians, we ought to be excited, and it should show. So many Christians are just quietly going about their business, and that's great. You know, we need to do that, but we also have to be on fire for God. Think about what He's done for us. I mean, everything. All good things come from God, our very lives, our futures, obviously. Without Him, we wouldn't have a future with Him for eternity. All these things. And we have to encourage each other and keep it going here, right? Never be lacking in zeal. To be excited, energized, but keep your spiritual fervor, once again, serving the Lord. Are we on fire for God? And does it show? Christianity is something you have to do, right? It's a verb, the way I see it. It should just show in our lives what we do, how we're out there serving others, right? For God's glory, not to glorify ourselves, but to build others up, to build them up in their faith and in other ways. So being on fire for God, if you talk to Dave or you talk to Dalen or any of the firefighters here, they tell you that there's how many things required to have a fire? You're tired. Three, right? Or you learned that in science class. If you're going to have combustion, there are three things that are necessary. One of them has to have air, oxygen, right? Without oxygen, you're not going to have a fire. And that's one way to put out a fire is to smother it, stop the oxygen from reaching it, and the chemical reaction can no longer proceed. Along with the oxygen, it needs a fuel source, right? It has to have fuel. It can be gasoline, can be wood, can be paper, you know, all kinds of different things. Diesel fuel, we're burning something. It has to have fuel. It has to have oxygen. And then, finally, a heat source, spark. Yeah, exactly. Something to initiate it, to get it going, right? Okay. Well, if we're on fire for God, I mean, does God provide the fuel for that? Yes. Does He provide the oxygen? Holy Spirit, right? Air we breathe, okay? Yeah. The Spirit in the Greek is compared to the wind. The air all around us. You can't see the Holy Spirit. We can't see the air, but we can feel it, right? You can feel the wind blowing by you. So yeah, absolutely. And then you have to have a spark to get it going. And God provides that as well, that heat source. So all three things God provides for this combustion here so that we'd be energized, we'd be on fire for Him. We're out there making a difference. Fire also gives off good things like light and heat. Yeah, right? We are to be light and salt. That's what they're learning about this morning. And the warmth that we get as well. You know, fire is good. The light and the heat, of course, it, you know, fire can be bad too, you know, if your barn burns down or something, right? But here we're talking about the good side of it, right? Okay, be on fire for God. Okay, now this, sometimes you see these people on TV, and I could be out there preaching, I could say, can I get a hallelujah? We are on fire for God this morning, amen? You know, no, it doesn't have to be that way. But it would be fun to give a whole sermon like that sometime. You know, maybe I should do that. I've always wanted to do that, okay. But being on fire for God, it doesn't have to be this raging inferno. It can be a soft glow as well. We're still giving off heat and light to others around us. We're still their benefit. They can warm up in the glowing, right? And the fire can catch from one thing to another. That's a great thing about it too. Someone else out there that maybe isn't on fire yet. We can, you know, get them a little spark, get it going. Plant some thoughts or some seeds. You know, be sort of a missionary in our own field here where we can bring it to others. And then God, of course, can fan the flames, right? And others can too. We can fan each other's flames. When together, we can do so much more. So it's not always running around shouting hallelujah, but we have our energy source from God. It's from Him, and that's what keeps us going. We're living our life for God with that zeal and that fervor, and He sustains us. Well, that zeal and that fervor, we heard about that in Acts this morning too. We heard about Apollos there. Some people you don't hear about much in the Bible, just a little bit here and there. And he's one of them. But some of the characteristics and the qualities that he had here just sort of fit in beautifully with what we're focusing on. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. Alexandria, named after Alexander the Great. It was in the Nile Delta in Egypt there. And it was a center for like learning and culture. So this guy's coming from that kind of background, all right? And he's coming then to Ephesus, the Ephesians were there, okay? Ephesus was a trade center. It was along the Mediterranean, an important place for trade. A lot of people from a lot of different places come there. And what a wonderful place to talk about God, because as they learn about him, they go on other places, and it's going to spread, isn't it? All right, Corinth was another example, another place where a lot of people are coming, and then they would spread on out from there, and the word could travel with them. It was also famous for the Temple of Artemis. It was the moon goddess there, but it was this big, big, huge temple that people had come from a long ways to see. So Paul's letter to the Ephesians, too. There's so much in there. I love the spiritual warfare part and all the other great things that are in there. So anyway, this Apollos came to this city here. He was a learned man. Well, he came from Alexandria with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. So he was Jewish, and he had been raised in the Torah, the Old Testament. And he knew it thoroughly, which is great. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor. There we go. He spoke with great fervor. Yeah. Speaking with fervor, you can fire other people up. And taught about Jesus accurately. So furthermore, he had heard about Jesus, but he didn't really know the full story. Because it says, though he knew only the baptism of John. Hey, John the Baptist, he was the way maker. He'd gone out to make a way for Jesus. The spirit of Elijah was upon him, and he's getting people fired up, but he's preaching a baptism of repentance with water, to repent of your sins, to come back to God and say, I'm sorry, I'm human, I screwed up, but I want to do better, and to be baptized with water, which is a symbol of cleansing. So he came to this town, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. A synagogue was at that time, sort of a city hall, a town hall, where people could come together. It means place of assembly. People could come together for various things. And he was using it to spread the good news then. Later on, after the temple was destroyed, synagogues would become places of worship around the world. And there are synagogues in many places now where you find people's Jewish beliefs. So he spoke in the synagogue, but it says he spoke boldly. Boldly. I like that. Let us do the same. Let us stand up for what we believe in, especially in this world today. There's other people out there with different beliefs that have a very loud voice. And if we're just sitting quietly, we're letting them have the floor, right? Now, we don't mean to overpower others, things like that, but we have to stand firm. We have to stand up for what we believe in. So let us be doing that, folks. Let us be doing that. Some people might not look on you favorably, but do it in a kind and a loving way, but stand firm. Be bold in your faith. All right, Jesus says something about that too, right? If we acknowledge him before men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, serious. All right. But he spoke boldly in the synagogue, so he's getting other people fired up. He's spreading the good news. But he didn't have the whole story. He had the baptism of John. He didn't really have the whole thing of what Jesus had done, the whole understanding. He didn't really have the rest of the story. And that's where Priscilla and Aquila come in. They are mentioned elsewhere in Acts. They're sort of a power couple. They are well known for their faith and the way that they promoted it. And Luke, as he wrote Acts, you know, it's the sequel to Luke is what it is, written by the same person. He mentions Priscilla and Aquila in a number of places. So they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They told him the rest of the story. And we can imagine, after finding out the rest about Jesus, how his fervor and excitement increased. Now he had the rest of the story. It unlocked a whole new level for him. And he had always known God. He had studied about him, everything like that, but now he had this new relationship with God. His faith had become alive in a new way. It's sort of a spiritual awakening that he could bring to others as well. I remember the same thing. I was raised in the faith, and I thank my parents for that. Went to Sunday school all the time. Later on, you know, I was teaching Sunday school and doing all the right things. And then one day we came to Shalom, and it just unlocked a new level. I mean, faith became alive in a way that it had not before, and wow, I'm standing here as a result of all of that. Pastor Becky was wonderful at preaching and increased my faith and introduced me to what the Holy Spirit can do in a person, and wow, like I say, it just changed everything. It changed everything. And that's what I believe here Apollos was experiencing as well. He'd been raised in the strong Jewish tradition, all that good stuff, but now all of a sudden he has the spiritual awakening, and he can bring it to others in a new way. So when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was great help to those by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in the public debate, proving from the scripture that Jesus was the Christ. So again, vigorously, with fervor, that's what this guy is doing. He's on fire. It's a great thing. Maybe that's not for all of us. Maybe our fires burn a little more slowly and stuff, but we're still being fueled by God, and we're still giving heat and light to those around us. Again, knowing the scriptures is great, he refuted the Jews who were holding fast to the Messiah has not come yet, but he proved from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, that Messiah has come. Alrighty. So, again, this spiritual awakening, this being on fire for God, it changed him, and it changed the way he preached, and he had so much more now to have the full story. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is basically what's happening here, and it just unlocks doors and gives him a whole new level. He levels up. Well, that was also addressed, of course, in our gospel today. The types of baptism, all right? John baptizing with water for repentance, and Jesus coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So all these people are wondering if John is the Messiah. They're probably doing the Berean thing. They're checking back in the Old Testament. Does he check this prophecy? Does it check that box? Does it fulfill this prophecy? Yeah, maybe some of them, okay? But not all of them, because he was not the Messiah. People were excited about him. He certainly gathered a lot of attention. You know, camel's hair and the wild honey and the locusts and, you know, coming out of the desert. You know, this is not normal, okay? So they're wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. He answered them, "I baptize you with water, yes, but one more powerful than I will come." How much more powerful? He says, "I'm not even worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals." Oh, that's the servant's job, to take the sandals off at the end of the day and to wash the feet of the master and things like that. He's not even worthy to be his servant. That's how much higher Jesus is. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Alrighty. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That part, I did a fair amount of research on this week because I wasn't really clear on it. And then now I understand why, because there's disagreement with all the scholars as well. So I don't feel so bad, okay? So sometimes you come across these things, I don't fully understand it, God, and, you know, you pray about it, you meditate, you research, and find out, hey, I'm not the only one. Okay, so there's about five different possible explanations here. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. One of them would be Acts 2. The people are gathered in the upper room. All of a sudden, the wind blows through, like the Holy Spirit there, and tongues as of fire on their heads. So absolutely, that could be a possible explanation right there. Makes sense to me. Alrighty. Another one is maybe like what Apollos experienced. The Holy Spirit equipping someone and giving them understanding. And then the baptism of the fire, giving them the energy to go out and to bring the good news to others. Makes sense. Alrighty. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, it does equip us. It connects us to God in a new way. And as believers, we have access to that. We've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we can communicate and hear from God and work with Him in a new way. We have this connection, a connection. But the fire part, some people say it also represents purification or sanctification. Fire can purify things. You can burn away the parts that are undesirable and keep in the part that you want. And we all go through that purification, that sanctification. As we become better and better, we're not going to get there on our own will and ability, but God will purify us. And it's not always, you know, painless. Another author suggested that the baptism of fire would be persecution, that Jesus said we would all suffer. We would all endure persecution. Okay, coming under fire, I understand that. And the fifth one that a lot of scholars ascribe to, baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Some people will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's the good part. Others would be baptized with fire or judged. This follows up with evidence for that. Baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, his winnowing fork in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to judge, to gather the wheat into his barn, yes, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All right, so it could be the sheep and the goats type thing as well there. So we're not really sure. And that bugs me, because I want to be sure. I want to know what Jesus is saying here. Which of these interpretations, or is it something else? But again, even the scholars aren't really sure. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, that is a good thing. Absolutely, 100%. It's going to set us on fire for God. The fire part could be good or bad. It could be an energy, or it could be a judgment. We're not really sure. Okay. But are we on fire for God? Do we have that zeal that Paul wrote about in Romans? I guess there's three possibilities when you look at it. Either we're cold in our faith. That's one of them. This is not good. If someone's cold in their faith, they might claim to be a Christian. Maybe they're going through the motions there. But they're not making a difference. They're not giving off that light to others, that heat to others. They're not, you know, there's no growth or there's no warmth. They're not growing in their faith. Going through the motions, and they're not bearing fruit. We ought to be making a difference in this world, right? For the kingdom, bearing fruit. Jesus talked about that too. And the vines or trees or anything that didn't bear fruit, that's good. Okay, cut off, thrown in the fire. You can move it up one notch there and be lukewarm. Well, Revelation 3, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth, so that's not a good place to be either. There are a lot of Christians out there that are just sort of lukewarm in their faith. Unfortunately, yeah. Okay. Again, going through the motions, maybe attending church every Sunday and things like that, keeping up appearances externally, but being complacent. Not really going out there and doing it. And again, this can be done in quiet ways too. We don't have to be all out there in front of everybody shouting hallelujah. But to be lukewarm is a danger, to be complacent. To just sort of let things happen. And again, not really bearing fruit. There might be some shriveled fruit there, but it's not good fruit. Okay, it's not one of those juicy peaches that you have to go outside to eat. Because it's just, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Those, I remember that as a kid, going outside to eat the peaches because they're just the juice running out of them. Those are the best. Okay, or else you get the pears or something that aren't ripe yet. They're hard, you know, that's just not good. We want to be good fruit. We want to bear good fruit. And then third, instead of being cold or lukewarm, you can be on fire for God, all right? And this is what we should be, all right? The joy should show in our lives, the joy. And sometimes it's a quiet joy, okay? Just this contentedness and this peacefulness and a quiet joy. And sometimes it's going to be a yeah type joy, all right? Being alive in the Spirit, connected to God, growing in your faith, making a difference, being energized by Him, bearing fruit, good fruit, the juicy peaches, all right? Being all in for Him, being passionate about it. And again, the passion could just be a dedication, a quiet dedication. But you are firm in your faith and you're not going to give on that. And for other people, the passion is going to be more of a, you know, it's going to show as a yeah type thing, all right? It's different for each of us. But yeah, not worrying what others think. Too often people are caught up in that also. They're worried about what others are going to think, you know, if I act like a Christian and stuff. Yeah. You're more worried about what people think or about what God thinks. About what God thinks, right? Acts 5:27, we must obey God rather than man. People are going to sometimes think we're a little different or strange. That's fine with me. I don't care. I'm living for God, all right? Yeah. Alrighty. So let us be, you know, hot in our faith. Let us be on fire. God's providing that fuel. We can be giving off the light, giving off the heat to those around us, making a difference in this world, bearing fruit for Him, not for our glory, not to build ourselves up, but for Him. He has given us each talents. He has given us each abilities. He has given us each the energy to go out and do things for His glory. Let us be faithful in that. Let us be out there bearing fruit, building the kingdom, expanding the kingdom, right? Too often we're just sort of trying to maintain our lines. The enemy's attacking, we're just trying to defend. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? Go therefore, right? Not just hunker in the bunker therefore. Not just be stagnant, therefore, but to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. He is for us as we go out, as we advance the kingdom. Let us be on fire for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So go out there and do it, folks. Don't just, claim to be a Christian. Like, again, you can stand in the garage and say you're a car. It doesn't make you one, right? Being a Christian, it ought to show. It's got to bear fruit. All right. Let us be known for that.